speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
I love the song that we have just sung, Take Time to Be Holy. And it is a scriptural song. It is a song that should stir us to do the things that we ought to do. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, if you want to turn your Bibles there, beginning in verse 8, he gives us reason to use our time in a proper way. Time is such an important thing. It is the most precious commodity that any man has. And yet so many people do not treat their time as if they think it is really worthwhile. Here in Ephesians 5, verse 8, he said, "You were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light," or as the King James Version says, "the fruit of the Spirit, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For everything that is made manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. Look carefully, therefore, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So here we find some very encouraging things by the Apostle Paul, who writes, in order that we, by subjection to God's will, might know right from wrong, and that we may know the good from the bad. Indeed, if we do those things which God's Word commands, then we will reprove the hidden things that are a shame in this world. We will stand against them. We will have no fruit with them. We will have no fellowship with them, no partnership. But we will rather even reprove them. But then he says to us to look carefully how we walk. To look means to give close attention to something. Look how you walk, how you live. In other words, don't live a life that you're not in control over. But live a life in which self-control is practiced. Look carefully how you walk. Why? Because all of us shall stand in the judgment of God. And if we don't look carefully how we walk, we may walk in such a manner as to be condemned in that last great day. Look carefully, therefore, how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. There are two choices. You can be wise in the way you use your time, or you can be unwise. In the way you live, in the way you conduct your life, you can either be wise or unwise. Which have you chosen to be? Take a look at your life this morning. Make an investigation of it. Is your time spent wisely? Or is it very unwisely done? If you're in these services this morning, this is one time you've used it wisely, and we're very happy that you have. But he says here, redeem the time. That means buy up every opportunity. That means don't miss an opportunity. In other words, be ready unto every good work, as Titus 3:1 says. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. We're living in a time when we can be distracted, when we can be drawn aside. The days are evil. There's evil in the world. And if you're open to it and you're not redeeming the time and using yourself in service unto God, then you're likely falling into these traps. We are to perceive evil and avoid it. We are to look at good and practice it. So these are the things of choice. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then he says, don't be foolish. Now, one who uses his time unwisely is foolish, because time will never be yours again. Once these moments are spent, they're never going to return. You pass this way but once. Do all that you can while you have opportunity. Isn't that what he's saying? Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is and live in harmony with that. So here's some very, very important instruction on time. I wonder, my friends, is God being crowded out of our lives? That's a question all of us should ask. If God's being crowded out, who's been put in His place? And if God is crowded out of our lives, then we're not using our time as we ought to use it. You know, one of the first thoughts of the Bible is time. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's time. In the beginning. In Job 14 and verse 1, he said, "Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." So indeed, our life here is short, as he says. And we are to look carefully how we walk. Proverbs 27 and verse 1, he said, "Boast thyself not of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth." In James the 4th chapter, he said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will enter into such a city, and we will spend a year there, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live, and do this or that." In Hebrews 1:1, he says, "God who at sundry time, and in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, whom he gave to be heir over all things, and through whom he made the worlds." In 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, "Now you study, to show yourself approved unto God." That's the way to keep from being unwise, isn't it? And to be foolish is to study, so that we may show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know that everybody in this audience feels the great demands upon their time. You feel like you just are so crowded that you don't have enough time to do everything that you would like to do, even in the Lord's service. And so it's a very important subject for us to discuss, the terms of time. There are many demands upon our time. There are many allurements to waste our time. There's many distractions that may come and temptations that demand our intentions and thoughts. Time is important, isn't it? Time is certainly something that we need to keep before our minds. One man said, people relate to time in different ways. A referee calls time. A prisoner serves time. A musician marks time. Historians record time, and loafers kill time, and statisticians keep time. Well, all of these things are related to time, and each of us have our own relation to time and how we use it, and we must make a mark on our lives as to what kind of use we're going to make of our time. I wonder, my friends, do you realize it's the most precious commodity in the world? How many of us have said this past week when something needed to be done, "I don't have time"? It's a pretty common phrase, isn't it? "I don't have time" may be true. It may be that so many things are demanding your time that you really don't have time. But then again, I've heard people say, "I don't have time to do some things," when they really didn't want to do it. And the only excuse they could think of was, "I just don't have time." You know, people who do not attend Bible classes sometimes say, "I don't have time." You have time if you want to. You have time to do those things that you desire. I know the allurements and the temptations are there, but do you know you have time to do what's right? In Ephesians 5:16, when he says, "Apply yourselves to look at your life and remember to redeem the time because the days are evil," he is saying there, rescue the time, recover the time from waste, and improve for great and important purposes the use of your time, using every opportunity, even at the sacrifice of pleasure sometimes. We can redeem the time, take advantage of the opportunities to use our time correctly, and that will be a blessing to our life and pleasing in the sight of God. You know, my friends, man has just enough time given him to accomplish all the purposes God has for him in life. It's like the little boy that wrote the essay on skin. He said there's just enough to cover the subject. Well, that's true of skin, isn't it? And it's true also of our time. There's just enough to cover what we need to do in life and what God expects of us. And God has not given us more than enough time. But you know, all of us have the same amount of time. 168 hours in each week, 24 hours in each day. Have you ever wondered why some people find time to worship? Some find time to go to the hospital? Some find time to serve the Lord in helping a fellow traveler in life to lift his load. You ever wonder? Now, they don't have any more time than I do. They have 168 hours just like I do. Well, what is the difference then, except the priorities that we make in our lives? What we have time to do is what we want to do. What we have time to do is what we need to do, if we're thinking right. "Be not foolish," he said, "but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, one of the lessons that we learn from our perfect example, Jesus Christ, is what he had the time to do. Do you know Christ? You know, we claim as Christians to be followers of Christ. But are we really following Him? If we don't know His life, we don't know how to follow Him. What did He have time to do? If I can suggest to you some things concerning His life today, you will see that He had time for the important things of life. He never failed to have time for the important matters. Are you acquainted with Him? Do you know Him? It was suggested in our class this morning that some think that He's far away, that He is really unknowing and unsympathetic toward our needs. Well, He's not. He is close to us at all times. He knows every move we make. He knows all of life. Are you acquainted with Him? How do you think about Him? How do you consider Him? How are you using your time? Is it like He did? It is said that Brother J.W. McGarvey spoke of the apostles like he was their next door neighbor. He knew them well. He spoke of them as friends. We ought to speak of Christ in the same way. He is the greatest friend we'll ever have. And we ought to know Him backwards and forwards. We ought to know what He did in life. And I hope by the time the day is over, if you did not know Him before, that you will know Him now. To see His divinity, of course, is always important. But to see His humanity is always important too. What did Jesus have the time to do? Well, I suggest to you, first of all, that He had the time to be about His Father's business. In the second chapter of the book of Luke, if you want to turn there to verse 41, we'll read several verses there to the end of the chapter. We find that Jesus had the time to be about His Father's business. Now, this precluded His personal ministry by about 18 years, when He was 12 years of age. Here's what the Bible says after verse 40 says, He grew and waxed strong in spirit, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon Him. Now, His parents went to Jerusalem, it says, every year at the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. In other words, it was their usual manner of doing. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought Him among the kinfolks and the acquaintances. And when they had found Him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting and talking in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and His answers. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And He said unto them, How is it that you sought Me? Wist you not, or know you not, that I must be about My Father's business? And they understood not the saying which He had spake unto them. And He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But His mother kept all of these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in the favor of men and God, or God and man. So here we notice some things about our Lord. Even at this early age of His life, He was about His Father's business. He realized the opportunities that were His, and He realized the responsibilities that were His. And so He astonished the doctors with His answers and with His questions. And as they come to Him, they say, Why did You do us this way? Why did You do not tell us that You were going to stay, number one, and why did You not appear when we were looking for You? They thought He was among the acquaintances. Now, I must confess that I at one time allowed our son to stay at the church building. Had a call from a friend of ours that said, What do you want me to do with this boy? Well, we had a house full of company. And I said, What boy? And they said, Your son. And it had been an hour since we had gotten home, but I thought he was out playing with the other children. Well, I can understand the parents then here. They missed the son only after they looked among the acquaintances where they thought he was. And it went 3 days before they actually found him. That was a day away from Jerusalem, a day back to Jerusalem, and a part of a day looking for him. So the third day they found him, and he asked them, Why didn't you look for me here at first? Why did he ask that? Well, you know as well as I do, the Lord says, Don't you know I needed to be about My Father's business? Now, let me ask you, and I'll ask myself too, where might we have found our 12-year-old son? Would we have found him talking with the doctors? Or would we have found him looking at the camels? Or the trained dogs? Or the trained monkeys? Where would we have expected to find our 12-year-old boy? Well, that depends on how we trained him. That depends on whether or not he's seen faith in our lives. That depends on whether or not we have used our time for the playthings of the day, or whether we have taught him to be serious, and whether we have taught him to put God first, and whether we have taught him that he needs to be about his father's business. Let's say it was Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in McMinnville, Tennessee. If you needed to call your son, where would you call? Would you call the church building because you know he'd be in Bible study? You ought to be able to do that. Would you call him Sunday night at 6 o'clock at the church building because you know that's where he'll be? Would you call him Wednesday night at 7? Because you know that's where he ought to be. You know, really, how we have lived before our children is how they're going to live. And our example and our teaching are so far-reaching. Would they say, I must be about my Father's business? Jesus had time to do that. And we ought to have time to do that. It does take time to be about the Father's business. It does take time to be a Christian, a good parent, a good neighbor, a good citizen. It takes time to do that, but we have time if we will use it. Jesus had time to be about his Father's business. Do we? Mark the time and look closely how you walk. Well, because the days are evil. Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is and redeem the time. You know, Jesus had time to be baptized. In the 3rd chapter of the book of Matthew, it tells us there then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John. That was the purpose of his trip. That's the reason he came. He didn't come to shop. He came to be baptized. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? But Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, John, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, to show respectful obedience to the will of God. And then he suffereth him, or allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now Jesus had time to walk 60 miles. To be baptized. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Did he redeem the time? Yes, he did. You know, a lot of people today don't have time to walk 6 blocks to be baptized. And that's sad, isn't it? But many today do not have time to be baptized at all. They say, someday maybe I will. They won't even ride in a nice car down a smooth street to go be baptized. But they ought to. Jesus walked 60 miles in order to be baptized of John. And others, of course, show a lack of regard for this divine command of God by saying, Yes, we're glad you came today. In 6 to 12 months, we'll have a baptismal service. And we will baptize you along with others into nothing. Because you see, baptism's non-essential. And you're saved at the point of faith. So though the Bible says that it's for the remission of sins, and to wash away your sins, and that you're saved by it. We don't believe that, so we won't baptize you for 6 to 12 months. You know, if they really believed in it as the Lord commands, they'd have time, wouldn't they? They'd redeem the time. In fact, the Bible teaches us that Jesus had time because it was important. It was God's will. And it ought to be important to each of us. If we're walking in wisdom, it will be important to obey the Lord even in this divine command. God's will is always important. You know, in New Testament times, there was never one who learned the will of God that waited past the hour he learned it. You find one. Well, in Acts 16, when the jailer was baptized, you recall that it was midnight. Well, if anybody had had a reason to say, look, we need to wait until tomorrow, it's already midnight, it would have been here. But these are gospel preachers. These are preachers of the New Covenant. These are preachers of the Great Commission who are told, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so here, this jailer, Acts 16:33, took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night. He washed their stripes in repentance because he had inflicted those stripes.
Pardon me.
And he was baptized. He in all of his straightway. So understanding this, we realize there was no hesitating, there's no delay. Tomorrow may be too late. These people may die before tomorrow. And here it is at midnight. Now, what religious group in the world would you expect to be out baptizing people at midnight? Very few. Except for the churches of Christ. Probably wouldn't be any. But that's what the Bible says. Jesus had time to be baptized because it was important. You know, Christians don't sometimes have time, they say, to stay and see somebody baptized. Why, in our services we may have two or more come, or one at any rate, rendering obedience to the gospel. They get up and leave before they're baptized. Isn't that a shame? To me, that's a disgrace. On Wednesday evening, sometimes when the classes are over, well, there's a large exodus of people. They don't have time to stay and hear the invitation of the Lord offered. They don't have time to see somebody respond to the gospel and to be baptized. They don't have time to encourage that. They've got to get home to their television and their popcorn. But they don't have time. Is it that we don't have time? Or that we don't want to take the time? You know, my friends, we don't always pay attention to the Bible, do we? It says, look carefully how you walk. You're the poorest example when you leave on Wednesday night early of anybody around. Did you know that? You're the poorest example and encouragement to one who wants to obey the gospel. Where are they going? Well, they're leaving. They have other things. And they don't have time. Well, my friends, this says redeem the time and walk wisely. And if you're thinking, you're not going to do that. Jesus had time to be about His Father's business. He had time to be baptized. He had time to go to worship. You know, in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter and verse 16, there it tells us that Jesus came to Nazareth, where He'd been brought up, and He entered as His custom was. And as all good religious Jews would do, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And not only that, He stood up to read. He had been trained to serve. He wouldn't have known how to read or what to read if he'd not been trained, but he has trained himself and he's ready. He's not going to say when somebody says, Jesus, will you read today? He says, no, I'm sorry. I don't believe I want to do that. No, he's ready to serve. And he had time to go to worship. You know, under the Christian dispensation, we must find time to worship. Oh, I know people who absent themselves from the worship service and they say, well, I just don't have time. You better find time. Or else you'll answer for that. In Matthew 4:10, when the devil approached the Lord and said, worship me, Jesus refused to do that. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Matthew 4:10. Don't serve idols? No. Don't serve saints? No. Don't serve angels? No. Don't serve mammon? No. Mammon's money. What are we to do? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And Him only shalt thou serve. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Redeem the time. Buy up the opportunity. We've got to find time to worship. Hebrews 10:25 gives a direct negative command. As strong as thou shalt not kill. When He says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Now what is that saying? That's saying find time to go to worship. You're a wrong example to your children if you don't. You're a wrong example to your mate if you don't. You're a wrong example to other Christians whom you ought to be encouraging if you don't. Do you not have time to go to worship? Oh, come on, friend. Come on, friend. Who are you trying to fool? You're not fooling God. God's not mocked. You can thumb your nose at Him, but you'll pay for that. Let's find time to worship. You know, any person who is too busy to worship is just too busy. Wouldn't you say that? Did you know J.C. Penney was a member of the Church of Christ? Well, he was. And he made this statement one time, if a man's business requires so much of his time that he cannot attend Sunday morning and evening service and Wednesday night services, then that man has more business than God intended for him to have. And you know that's right. That's right. J.C. Penney made a great statement there. If your business demands more of you than you can do and be at these services, then you don't have time. You're not being very wise. Multitudes, of course, spend their time in worshiping other gods. They worship the god of fashion. They worship the god of pleasure. If they're not worshiping the God of heaven, they just don't have time. Jesus had time to go to worship. You know, Jesus had time to pray. Indeed, the Bible says that He always prepared for any great crisis or any kind of an important work by prayer. He calls James to write in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it does. The effectual, fervent prayer. That's not a dead prayer. That's not a prayer that's, well, I don't know if I like it or not. It is a living, active, energetic prayer. And it really means what it says. You know, the night before Jesus selected the apostles, the Bible says in Luke 6:12-13, He went off into a mountain by Himself and He prayed all night long. He had an important decision to make. And the Bible says also the next day He called His disciples together, and from them He chose 12, whom He called apostles. They were to be sent into all the world and carry the gracious message of salvation. Shouldn't He have prayed about that matter? Have you ever prayed all night? Have you ever prepared for a great crisis by prayer, whether it be all night or just a little while? You know, we are dependent upon God in all that we do. Take time to pray. Take time to be holy, as we sang this morning. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you recall that He took all of His disciples with Him, and then He left most of them and took three on a little further. Then He left those three. And the Bible says three times in extreme sorrow and agony and pain in Matthew 26:35 and verses following, Jesus prayed unto the Father. Why? Because here is a time of great suffering, time of great difficulty. He called upon His Father. He had time to pray. He often prayed, and it was always fervent. You remember the disciples of John came to Him and said, Lord, or His disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Even as John also taught His disciples, they waited till He was finished with His prayer, and then they wanted to know how to pray. I hope you and I are the same ones that were with them. I hope we won't know how to pray too correctly. And I hope that we will ever apply ourselves to have time to pray. We shouldn't be like the man whom I heard of out in West Texas who prayed the same prayer every time. He said the same words. He had it memorized. Didn't mean a thing to him. He just prayed it and prayed it and prayed it until he got tired of praying. He just wrote it down. And then he read it to the Lord every night. He wouldn't even say it. He'd just read it to Him. And then he got tired of that, so he just tacked it up on the wall and he said, here it is, Lord, read it for yourself. Well, that's kind of bad, isn't it? That's not the way Jesus prayed, and it shouldn't be the way you and I pray. If we have the proper attitude toward God, then we will find time to pray. You know, you can pray stopped at a traffic light. You can pray anywhere you are. And indeed, it's so important. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 still says, pray without ceasing. Meaning that we always ought to be ready for communion with God. Never put ourselves in a situation where our time demands that we just can't pray and call upon our Heavenly Father. Well, there's so many more things in the life of Christ that we need to check out, but these are something we ought to all remember. Jesus had time to be about His Father's business. He had time to be baptized. He had time to go to worship. And He had time to pray. I wonder, are you really a Christian? Do you have time to do these? Are you looking carefully how you walk? Not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And be not foolish, He said. Not the opportunities of time, or else you'll be found lacking in the last great day. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, have you not had time to be baptized? Why not? My friends, there's nothing more important in the world to an alien sinner than being baptized into Christ. Where His salvation can be found, where His sins can be put away, where the hope of eternity can be assured. And if you're here this morning, I'm hopeful that you will avail yourself of this obedient act. This is the command of God, command of our Lord, and you ought to have time to do that. Make time to do it. And if you've been a Christian and yet you haven't had time to be about the Father's business, if you haven't had time to pray, if you haven't had time to attend faithfully the services of the church, then you need to repent this morning. You need to make your time available to God and say, I will be always first and foremost in His service. And if you're subject in any way, it's our pleasure to offer the invitation of heaven. And while we sing together, we're hopeful that you'll come.